إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we are looking at Yusuf alayhi salam in Surah Yusuf and his story. And alhamdulillah, this is a story which is full of many different lessons applicable for us today. So we are at a point now where Yusuf alayhi salam has been imprisoned, and as we know, he was not imprisoned for any wrongdoing. He was imprisoned because that was a way that the people thought, the people in authority, they thought that was a way of subduing him or forcing him to accept their wrongful proposals. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this way also of preserving Yusuf alayhi salam and protecting him. So the prison was, in the case of Yusuf alayhi salam, the prison was like a, it was actually a form of protection. So it took him out of the immediate day-to-day stress of living in a house where he would have otherwise been constantly under threat. As I said, the biggest threat is the danger of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The biggest weakness is sin. When Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu wrote his famous letter to Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, who was commanding the army in the Battle of Qadsiyah, Sayyidina Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu wrote to him and said, please make sure that your soldiers do not commit any major sins. He said, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give us victory on the basis of arms, but gives us victory on the basis of purity and on the basis of piety. And he said, sickness weakens a person much more than the lack of arms. Sinfulness weakens a person much more than the lack of arms. So sinfulness is a sickness. The belief that you can commit sins and that nothing will happen to you is a sign of the weakness or the absence of iman. When we are in this world, if we believe this and if we live like this, then imagine what will happen when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. What will be the state of our iman when we face Malakul Maut, which we will face one day without a doubt. So this is the issue of protecting yourself from sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Yusuf alayhi salam from sin by putting him in prison. The second lesson here is that the asbab of the dunya, the appearances of the world, do not indicate success or failure. But it is the position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that indicates success or failure. In the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, you find that who had power and strength. First it was the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. They had the power and strength. Then it was the people who pulled him out of the well. They had the power and strength. Then it was the governor or whoever it was, whose title was Aziz. He and his wife, they had power and strength. The people who imprisoned Yusuf alayhi salam, which was the government of the state, they had power and strength. Yusuf alayhi salam constantly was weak. He was a prisoner. He was in the well. When he was taken out of the well, only the nature of his imprisonment changed. So when we say Yusuf alayhi salam was in prison, Yusuf alayhi salam was in prison from the moment he was thrown into the well by his brothers. That is also prison. The fact that he was in the custody or power of his brothers was prison. They threw him into the well. The people who pulled him out of the well, they sold him into slavery, which is prison. He was living in the house of this man, but that was a prison. It was a golden prison. but it was still a prison. He was not free to go where he wanted, he was not free to do what he wanted. They tried to force him to do something which was sinful. And then he went into what is formally called a prison in the terminology of the state. But really, if you look at the whole life of Yusuf alayhi salam until this point and until he is freed from the prison, he is in prison. So in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam, you are seeing a state where here is a person who has no power, no authority, no supporters, and he is alone in all of this. There is no one to support him. Among the people, there is nobody supporting him. His own family, who first of all created this entire problem, his own brothers. So the whole issue is that he has no supporters, he has no power and authority, he does not even have freedom, yet he has the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has the madad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first lesson is that your worldly circumstances do not show whether you are successful or not. Success and failure depends on the pleasure and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second one is that even though you have the help of Allah, the help of Allah is not always visible. Now you might say, if you just take this story and tell this story as a story, and you say, well, Yusuf alayhi salam had the help of Allah, somebody who is listening to that, they might say, where is the help of Allah? How do you mean help of Allah? First he is taken by his brothers, he is thrown into the well, then he is taken and sold into slavery, then he gets into this bigger problem in this thing, and then he is in the prison. Where is the help of Allah? But you know and I know that the help of Allah is constantly with Yusuf alayhi salam. It's constantly with Yusuf alayhi salam in the sense that he fell into the well but he did not get injured. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the asbab for that. He was taken out of the prison and sold into slavery, but he was not sold into slavery where he would have been personally injured or personally, what happens to slaves? Allah knows, you know, it's how terrible. Yeah. And then when he was in this situation where his reputation could have been damaged, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him from that. And then he is in prison and we'll talk about that. So the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not always visible in a material sense. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is visible in the heart. Now who can go into the heart of Yusuf alayhi salam and say what was he feeling at the time? What was the sense of itminan? What was the sense of comfort and peace and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that saw him through all of these difficulties? The visible material proof of that is the behavior of Yusuf alayhi salam. He never lost control of himself. He never started, you know, screaming and shouting and wailing and weeping. He didn't do any of that. From whatever we know of Yusuf alayhi salam's behavior, you're seeing the behavior of a person who is entirely composed, a person who has not lost his equanimity, a person who's not gone into depression or something and say, what kind of life is this, you know, how horrible is my life? No. He's a person who is at peace with himself, completely content in himself. And the biggest proof of that are the prisoners. When he is in the prison, the people come to him and they say to him, there is something about you. Yeah, there is something about you. Ayyuha Siddiq, they say, you are our dear friend and you are a one who is truthful. And then these two guys come to him with the dreams that they saw. Why do they go to him? Why don't they go to somebody else? Because there is something in the demeanor of Yusuf alayhi salam which draws people to him, which is the inner attraction of peace, the inner attraction of noor that comes from hidayat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not only physical beauty, it's not just a matter of physical beauty. We all talk about the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. The beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam is not only the physical beauty, it is the inner beauty. It's the beauty of a person who has excellent manners, a person who is at peace with himself, a person who is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where the noor of hidayat is shining in his face, a person who has the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts his izzat and his pleasure and his love in the hearts of strangers. People there who don't know him also become affected by his goodness. So this sense of goodness, this quality, one must not lose track of that. And that is really what gives beauty. Physical beauty is, you know, as they say, beauty is skin deep, and that reflects to, applies to physical beauty. Physical beauty is skin deep. With age, it won't say disappears or fades, but sometimes it changes. Some people actually become more beautiful as they grow older. But that's not usually the case. So most people, as they grow older, the beauty fades and so on. But the inner beauty of a person, which is the beauty of a soul which is connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this always increases. As you grow older, the more time you have spent in Islam, the more time that you have spent in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in being connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more beautiful you become from inside, and this beauty reflects. And so therefore people who look more, this is not a direct link to that, but I'm saying that this beauty links, shows out in the external world also. So these two people come to Musa, to Yusuf alayhi salam, and they tell him their dreams. And if you read those ayat of the Quran relating to this, Yusuf alayhi salam does not immediately answer them and give them an answer to their dreams. He does not interpret the dream immediately. Yusuf alayhi salam first gives them da'wah. Yusuf alayhi salam tells them, he says, which is better in terms of understanding? Worshipping multiple gods or worshipping one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is Wahidul Qahhar? Which makes more sense to you? Think about that. He says, I am on the deen of my parents and grandparents and my Aba wal Ajdad. And that is the deen of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, which is the deen of La ilaha illallah, which is Islam. So Yusuf alayhi salam, even where he is in prison, his focus is to introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people, to connect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people. So very big lesson here in terms of Da'watul Islam, which is Da'watul Islam consists of presenting Islam through your behavior and presenting Islam through your words in every situation that you are in. To do the work of da'wah, you do not have to join this organization or that organization, or you don't have to do any specific thing. Da'wah is not only by giving a khutbah or only by writing a book or only by, you know, giving a lecture somewhere. Da'wah to Islam is in every aspect of our lives, day and night, standing and sitting in any situation that we might be in. And that is a big lesson from the ayat relating to this incident of these people and their dream. Yusuf alayhi salam gives them da'wah. He says, the real thing is this, whatever the interpretation of your dream, he says, I will tell you before the food comes, before the time for, you know, their meal comes. But the main thing is not whatever the dream is, but the main thing is to be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. And then when the time for the food comes, Yusuf alayhi salam also interprets their dream. And one of the dreams of the man, one dream is, one man has a dream which he interprets as evil, that he will be executed. And the other man's dream he interprets as that he will become the wine bearer of the king. And then he says to the man who is going to be with the king, he says, tell your master about my situation here, that I have been imprisoned for no fault of mine, and that he should attend to this. So Yusuf alayhi salam says this to the man, but shaitan makes him forget it. And this is, some of the mufassirin have said that this is also something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching Yusuf alayhi salam. It's not that Yusuf alayhi salam sought the help of someone other than Allah, but as they say, jinke rutbe hain siwa unko siwa mushkil hai, Yusuf alayhi salam asked the man to remind his or to mention his plight to the king. So in a way he asked the man for help. This is not asking for help in exchange for help of Allah. It's not that. I mean, somebody is in front of you, ask him for something. There's nothing wrong with that. But being a Nabi and so on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's standards are different. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shaitan therefore made the man forget, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed this to happen. And Yusuf alayhi salam remained in the prison for an unspecified number of years thereafter. So whenever this particular incident happened, some of the Mufassirin have said this happened in the first year of imprisonment, and some people said it happened later. So that overall time of his imprisonment, some people said it is 7 years, some people said it is 10 years, some said 12 years, and so on. That is not important. If it was important, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have specified it in the Quran. Allah would have said, or Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have said, he was there for so many years. What is important is to understand this, that la nafi wa la dharra illallah, that always and always it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can do anything, and therefore never remove your focus from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. So if you ask Allah for something, stay on that, don't lose hope, don't start running here and there and saying, oh, I'm not seeing the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help comes when Allah is ready to give it, and that is at the right time where you actually need it. We like to have some insurance and say, well, you know, I like to see it in advance. It doesn't happen like that. Allah is not subject to our likes and dislikes. Allah will give His help when He wants. What we know is that inshallah al-musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help those who are on the right path. And that wal-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen, the akhirah and the reward of the akhirah is for the muttaqoon. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to learn the lessons and to apply them in our lives. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.